The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A good Cardinal Brands radio station.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption, with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Not only is Wilbon on the air with us today, but he is live in studio. You can watch it on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You can still listen to it, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, or the ESPN Chicago app. Brought to you by Waddles, guys, as always.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
It was great to see. I don't remember the last time I saw
you.
It's
been a while.
Because when you were in studio.
I've been in twice. You were elsewhere.
One time I was back at home doing the show.
You were home. Yep. And the other time. I don't know. Maybe
I think I think it circles back to your guys' disagreement on where the Bears should play football in the future, and both of you have dodged each other because you don't like the stance.
Before we get
the others.
Into that fight, I was walking in. A friend of mine, dear friend here in Chicago, who cares not about sports at all, musician Amy Anderson. She says, "I'm going to listen to your show if you're going to talk about the Queen. I'm going to listen to Wild and Sylvie if you guys talk about the Queen." I'm like, sorry. That's not what we do. We're not talking about the Queen. So, but I at least mentioned I would say we're not.
You meant you're talking about the Queen. You would say rest in peace.
Did the Queen ever appear at Soldier Field? I bet she did. Did she ever go to Arlington Heights or did she go stop at Soldier Field? The Pope. Soldier Field. The Pope. Not Arlington Heights. I know.
Well, there's nowhere
that
to go in Arlington Heights right now.
There's more people downtown.
When it's built 10 years from now, whoever's the Pope, then if he comes through town, we'll be there.
He's going to be like, I got to go check out the new stadium.
Somebody clip that.
Yes.
Whoever the Pope is, he's going to go.
Right, he's going to go up to Arlington Heights.
No, he's not.
Zetterman wanted to know this. No. Who is our equivalent to the Queen or King? Not politics wise, but like,
the Queen doesn't have anything to do with the politics in
England anyway. It's a figurehead, right?
Ceremonial. I mean, we don't.
Do we have somebody?
No, because you have to be born to it anyway. And everybody in the United States of America, one of the great things
Oprah?
Is you ascend.
What about Oprah?
There was a time in which she was.
George Clooney?
No.
George Clooney?
No. Oprah? Huh? I'm gonna mention. Well, no, but there were people who didn't like him. If they were in Indianapolis or Cleveland or something, Michael Jordan. But you got to ascend to that here. You're not born to it. And so that's, you know.
Well, it was political at one time. It's not now, so.
It was political 100 years ago.
Yeah.
But the Queen isn't anything political. And
no.
The Queen was the same age as my, here we are talking about the Queen. Same age as my mom, so I could keep up really easily. 96 years old. And, I think my mother was in Europe during her coronation or something. When they were both like 26 years old. It's a long time ago.
It's crazy. I saw the stat, 70 years, and I saw the stat that 22 NBA teams, including our Chicago Bulls, were not around. When the Queen.
96.
Yeah.
96.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So there's a Queen shout-out.
Yeah.
I at least did that.
Yeah, we were able to weave that into the fabric of the show.
Now, what about the would-you-rather question that we got? Would you rather the Bears make the playoffs, but Justin Fields plays like Mitch Trubisky did in 2018, where he's okay, and he's
make
along for the ride.
Make the playoffs.
Or... They missed the playoffs.
No.
And Justin Fields shows you he's the next star.
No. He's got plenty of time to show me he's the next star. Show me in the third year. Get in the playoffs. Show me they got some players. What's more important? No. The one thing that has really hardened me doing what I do for all these years, and you know, I don't want to name drop, but it's going to sound like it. I sit next to Magic Johnson in a studio for a long time now. right?
Boy, and right now you have taken a serious drop off if you sit next to me and sit.
No, I'm not taking any drop off. I sit next to somebody who went to the finals 12 times in 9 times in 12 years. And listening to him in your ear, a lot of times he'd give you a look when if I had answered the question the other way. And you're sitting there, you're not just on the air, you're together all the time talking about every sport. And people don't understand, folks who are 60 years old, they didn't play one sport in AAU and do something for 12 months. They played every sport. Guys like Magic and Charles and Mike, they played every sport. And they care about every sport, and they care about one thing.
Winning.
That's it. And so I've become hardened in this position. I don't care about the other stuff. Did you come close to winning? Did you try to win? Did you make an advance toward winning? If not, get the hell out of my sight.
But when you get a Magic Johnson on your team, and you or you get the next Russell Wilson, or you get the next... you know, Lamar Jackson, or you get the great player is, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
That is your ticket to win every year.
It is.
So if Justin
Fields... you don't need to do that this year.
Even if this year doesn't... if you don't get to the postseason, but Justin Fields is that difference-making quarterback, then all of a sudden you have a ticket to the postseason if you surround him almost every... like Magic Johnson, every year
but
he's in
contention. But if you get there... if you get to the playoffs, then you can see what you've got surrounding him. And it meant he was good enough not to stand in that team's way as it got to the playoffs.
Where did that get Rex Grossman? Where did, when you surround, if you've got Rex Grossman and you get to the Super Bowl?
No, we saw the next year Rex Grossman wasn't any damn good.
Exactly.
We got time to see that with this kid, with Fields. We got time. What does the team do? You want to give back the Super Bowl appearance, only the second one in the history of the franchise? Come on.
A lot of the playoffs are diluted these days because so many teams make it. That Bears team that made it to the postseason in 2020 had zero chance. The one thing I would say is in his second year, if they go to the postseason with Justin Fields, I didn't have a problem with Mitch's second season in 2018.
Now he didn't have a problem. I thought he's pretty good.
I put on film and I'm not enamored, but for a second year, now you got to build on it.
But do you know how good you are for the next decade if Justin Fields emerges as a true star?
If you're asking me to answer the question, I'm going with the quarterback certainty because it is such an important position. It's the most important position in sports. If you can guarantee me that I have a superstar at the most important position in sports, then I'm going to ride with that. That will give me a chance.
You need that too. But I need a team.
And you can build that. Now that you know the most important position
If you have a team... and you can let that kid. First of all, I tell you what I'm more worried about than the quarterback position. There's only one thing: the head coach. We just had a lame ass head coach,
and the OC too. Because since this guy's a defensive guy,
right?
You
got
to play. Let me ask
but you know what I mean. Given that, look, Mitch is going to be good this year.
No,
because Mitch is going to be coached.
You watch.
Guys watch.
Kenny Pickett's going to be coached.
I'm sorry. So far on the spectrum of who's gotten it right with the quarterback and the coach in this booth, with all due respect to my dear friend over here.
You didn't get it right with Mitch.
Yes, I did.
How did you get it right with Mitch?
Mitch is okay.
Mitch is an average guy.
An average guy who's going to get coached. Okay, I'll walk it back. Who got it right with the coach from day one?
You did. Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to get it right again. Mitch is going to get coached. And I tell you this. Mitch is going to win 10 games with the Steelers this year. I'm taking bets.
Is Mitch going to win 10 games because they've got
T.J.
Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick,
fine.
And everybody else?
They'll get to the playoffs and do well. They can figure out the quarterback situation later. You mean that equation? Mitch is going to get coached. Did I stammer or stutter?
Are you friends with Tomlin?
No, I don't know Mike Tomlin. I've known him to say hello.
If you were to call Mike Tomlin and you said, Mike, You can make the postseason this year.
Make the postseason. I know what coaches are going to say.
And Kenny Pickett is average. Or Kenny Pickett shows you he's a star, but you guys miss the postseason.
Coaches
want.
Coaches care about one thing. Coaches care, Sylvie. I bet my life on this. I'm around too many of them.
And that's why coaches
all my life.
That's why coaches can't also carry the dual responsibility of being the GM.
That's exactly it. They work across purposes. Coaches have to win tonight. That's all they care about. That's
but
why
we're
you
not coaches or GMs. We're just fans.
He
and
asked
saying,
me what the coach Mike Tomlin would say.
But if you asked me as a fan, yeah. I'm going to ride and because I don't have anything invested. Like my job's not on the line if they don't. Right. You know, with regard to getting to the postseason or not. If you ask me, if you can get the quarterback position correctly, that's the most important commodity in today's
and
game.
A star,
and I would ask you, how many bad teams are there with elite quarterbacks?
But how many teams?
Very few.
Wait. Don't just give the answer to that question because it's not rhetorical.
I said how many are?
You don't have to be bad. We're not saying Justin Fields needs to be bad. First of all, if he's bad, they're not getting to the playoffs anyway.
That wasn't the question.
Look at the teams that have gone. I mean, how good is the guy at Tennessee that got to the conference finals?
That's a good comp.
Trent Dilfer, who I like very much, won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco. One of you guys don't want to go down this road.
Nick Foles. But you see what happens.
Those are exceptions to the rule.
How many exceptions are we going to point out?
I'll bring
if
up
I got
Andy
a half
Reese.
Dozen exceptions, then I'll take the exception.
Andy Reid knew it wasn't good enough.
You want to throw Brad Johnson in there, too?
Yeah. He didn't,
Trent Dilfer.
I mean,
I go there.
I know.
Jeff Hostetler.
So my point is.
But today's game is so quarterback dependent.
Remember, I'm agreeing with you guys, Tommy, that. This kid, we need to see some progress big time. But we got sidetracked on the Trubisky thing because I believe so much of that is about the head coach.
He was done wrong.
We were quick to point that out as well.
He's still not that good.
Here's the mystery.
He went 12-4.
Can't believe we're having this conversation again at this point. Well, let's totally come back to all of the people that what were you going to do after 4 years and you had to give him a contract? You had to pick up his fifth year at $25 million.
No.
I'm just saying, like, that's why they moved on from him. They moved on from him for a couple of reasons. And one was you weren't going to pay him $25 million.
I'm okay with that. But here's the problem with that. They didn't see what he could be. Because the coach wasn't good enough.
Okay, but this
the coach's ego got in the way of finding out.
And this is where, and you, at the end of the day, you may be proven right. This is where my argument, this is the angle I'm coming from. And I don't wish the kid ill will. By every account, he's a wonderful young man. He works hard. He's been named a captain. Like, I get he's not a bad guy. No one's rooting against him. When you game plan for him, or you put a game plan together that will accentuate what he does well, which is cut the field in half, or what he showed by watching film of him play, cut the field in half and add the physical elements to let him get out on the edge. That will take you so far. That will beat the Texans. That will beat the Jags. That will beat a bad Minnesota team. I'm talking about the end of the 2020 season. When you step up in class and you have to face teams that can deal with you cutting the field in half. And I bet you that Steve Young, your buddy who you had on the show today, would agree. At some point, you have to prove that you can be more than that guy, that they are just force-feeding you, cut the field in half,
Tommy.
Simple reads. And I'm just saying, that's where the Mitch who Mitch really is, that's the determining factor in Pittsburgh will be the following. He's going to get coached well.
But the scenario you just set up doesn't allow for improvement.
My point to you is about the ultimate where Mitch goes is going to be when he does have to elevate outside of that,
I want to give him a chance to elevate.
And the Steelers will.
Right. That's my only point.
My point is that's where Mitch will either prove everybody right or wrong.
Yeah. He'll sink or swim with that.
And some of it's coaching, and some of it is just the ability to process the position.
Okay, but he didn't have half of it. He didn't have the coaching part.
They didn't
put him in a position to get better.
But there are moments as well when you have simple reads and you put on the film and you go, what the hell was
so
the young man doing?
I'm not willing to go to a point where I'm saying that kid can't get better. I've been around sports too long. I've been around too many sports where people got better.
But when they were tutored
and they worked hard at it and they got smarter over a period of time. Maybe not as smart as they needed to be Joe Montana, but they got better, Tommy. I know you had teammates like that.
There's no question, and I think that he can't get better under better tutelage.
Right.
But they also drafted a kid in the first round. So they even internally have to believe that there may be a ceiling.
I'm not saying that I would have paid him $25 million.
No, I'm not.
All I'm saying is I don't believe in the posse that was just run out of town.
This is the essence of a good would you rather question.
That's why this guy wins for 10 minutes.
Yes.
Now, and let me bring this up, circling back to the Bears thing about whether or not they win with Justin Fields, and he proves that he's better, but still not a star, or he's a star and they don't make the postseason.
Right.
I will show you the good offensive coaches in this league. Alex Smith wasn't good enough for Andy Reid. He needed someone better. Jared Goff wasn't good enough for Sean McVay. He needed Matthew Stafford. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't good enough for Shanahan.
Despite two trips to the NFC title, the guys
that you win with still aren't good enough for the really great. You need a star in this league to win.
Well, you're always looking to have better personnel at every position. So when you get the opportunity to enhance the most important position, then I think everyone takes it.
Yeah, also, you know, these 49ers, you know, Shanahan will be confirmed when he wins. He didn't win.
I'd still take him.
Yeah, I mean, how many teams do win?
A lot of geniuses out there. You know, it's like 2 years ago, people were telling me, I kept hearing on my network, Dynasty, the Kansas City Chiefs Dynasty. Dynasty of one? Really? I mean, sports is harder than that.
Of course it is. So you have to factor that into whether or not you truly believe a coach is really good.
Yes.
Like, because it's so hard to win. You got to stay healthy.
It's so hard to win.
The ball's got to bounce your direction.
But then don't tell me I'm not going to take a chance in the playoffs. Because the playoffs, listen, you can have a doink the right way and keep going. I don't think Philadelphia was all that damn good.
The year that the Bears went? Yeah, no, the Bears should have beaten them.
Of course. And so my point is, no, you're not getting me to pass up the postseason. And particularly because you have more teams, and now you have crazy stuff that happens. Like the wild card in Major League Baseball. All of a sudden, the San Francisco won 107 games last year. We don't even know what happened to them. It's so hard to win, and you need some luck on your side. You got to get in the tournament. Tell me all this other stuff later, man. Don't tell me Mike Tomlin wouldn't take that trip to the playoffs. But I'm 100. Tommy's so right about
coaches
this.
Coaches in front office.
That's
people
why they
different.
Can't be the same guy. Because Mike Holmgren, the coach, is making decisions that Mike Holmgren, the GM, would not sign off on.
Yes.
You can't do it.
What did Steve Young tell? Steve Young was on PTI today. What did he tell you guys? We just saw the graphic.
What advice would you give to Justin Fields?
What did he say?
Oh man, it was great.
We should bring that back.
Yeah, you should.
We had Kurt Warner on today, and he was great,
too. I bet they said similar things. This is great. Steve said the phrase was, throw the mechanic in the trunk. You are going to get hit, and you are going to have to go outside of what is talked about Monday through Friday. And you're going to have to stay alive. And there's going to have to be some instinctive stuff done on your part. You are a talented guy. And Steve Young can recognize this because Steve came in the league with a lot of those same skills, right? And, Steve obviously was sitting behind Joe Montana for a while. So that's a situation that Justin Fields isn't in. But throw the mechanic in the trunk. It was such a great. And the mechanic was Bill Wallace. The mechanic was a genius. But Steve is great on this topic. Steve's great on all quarterbacks.
Steve told us a long time ago, too. He said, listen, a quarterback that has the ability to get outside on the edge and make plays off script and do things athletically, that's a tremendous asset to have. But that player also, if you want him to get you to the top of the mountain, he's got to be able to play at a high level from the pocket as well, because always, the better defenses will find a way to keep you there.
And he's consistent in his answer with that. But what he's saying is sort of leaning toward what I'm saying about the playoffs. He's saying he's not going to do this overnight.
And I think he's
got a new coach and a new staff, and he doesn't have the weapons. We know that. Everybody's talking about that league-wide.
I think you would agree, too. I mean, because you were probably more familiar with Steve's career than we were. But Steve had to harness and get better from the pocket as well. His first instinct was to get the hell out of there and do everything as an athlete.
Yes, it was.
And he didn't really become the great player that he became until he learned to function inside the pocket as well as playing on the edge.
But look at what they did. I mean, that team, Steve Young was MVP when Joe Montana was still on the roster.
Yeah.
That speaks to, again, what surrounds you. And going back to the point about this guy wasn't coached. This kid wasn't coached last year, and Trubisky wasn't coached for a couple of years. That goes back to that point. Don't tell me Tim Duncan would have been the same player without Greg Popovich. I don't believe that.
Don't tell me you just used Mitch Trubisky and Tim Duncan in the same sentence.
That probably wasn't a good way to go. But I'm trying to get to the coach. The coach. I'm trying to get to coaching.
But I say all the time, mutually exclusive conversations. Yes, Matt Nagy did a poor job at bringing him along.
Yeah.
Yes, Mitch has limitations. Both can be accurate.
Right.
Both can be truthful.
Yes.
That's all.
I just believe, okay, let me add something. My PS on that is, I believe in Mitch Trubisky more than I believe in Matt Nagy. I believe that Mitch Trubisky is much more likely to overcome his limitations than I think that egomaniacal Matt Nagy was to overcome his.
I think that's a fair statement.
I would let Mitch Trubisky quarterback my team faster than I would let Matt Nagy call a play.
Yes.
I agree.
For sure.
Okay.
Well, you just know that you've got to do what Matt didn't.
Right.
You've got to put him in position to take advantage of what he does well.
If the preseason is any suggestion,
that should be limited. Any conclusions we come to in preseason?
But I don't even want to draw a full
Justin
conclusion.
Fields included.
Like No. Just that the coach looks like he's willing to actually coach this guy. Not a guy he left behind 450 miles away.
Mike, actually, it's been the one thing I think Sylvie and I have been most impressed with. This team, talent-wise, doesn't stack up with the better teams. Right. They make their layups. You know, they don't shoot themselves in the foot. They seem to be...
They don't have eight false start penalties in the first quarter.
Procedurally, they look like they are
a
professional
outfit.
That's
called being better coached.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right, Wilbon's in studio. We have some callers who want to interject. If you want to react to that, that was a really good would-you-rather question.
That's the essence
of it, right. Like, we laugh, but the good questions like that, like, would you rather the Bears make the postseason? Fields plays okay, but he's not the reason why. He's more along for the ride. Or they don't make the postseason and Fields shows you he's a star. What would you rather have? 332-3776. I am very interested in hearing your what you would do if you were in charge of the White Sox. Ooh. And Tony wants to come back on Monday like John Heyman's reporting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we'll get to that with Wilbon.
Did that
Yeah, I think so. Wilbon is in our old National Bank studio. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Binny's Beverage Depot, Lincoln Park, tomorrow. That's where Waddle and I will be. Courtney Cronin's going to try and
Why don't you stop by, Mike? You're going to be around? Come out to Binny's. We'll buy you a...
I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in town.
Buy you a Diet Coke. What do you drink?
That's it.
Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Buy you a Diet Coke.
It's glorious over there. They've got this big tasting room. It's the venue that they hold. It could hold a wedding.
Yeah.
The ceiling
sure
kind of
has.
30, 40 foot ceiling.
Where is this again now?
This is at Lincoln Park, off of North Avenue.
It's on Marcy Street.
On Marcy Street, where the Best Buy has been for years.
Okay. Yeah. I know where that is.
Carmen DeFalco has they have their big bourbon and bacon event there every year when it's
How's Carmen
not
feeling
COVID.
About his White Sox right now?
I think he's a little more, interested.
Only two games out.
Yeah, they've done this to us before.
Every week.
Yeah, they're game over
every
500.
Every week. They got Oakland on the schedule. That should be wins.
Right. But the conversation now is they're 6-3 with Miguel Cairo as the interim manager, and now that may...
So the news is, if you're just getting into your car... And remember, Bob Nightingale is the guy who broke the story originally. We all laughed at Nightingale from USA Today when he's like, hey, do you know who could get this White Sox managerial job? This was a year and a half ago. Tony La Russa. And we're like, yeah, right. Nightingale's out of touch. And sure enough, Nightingale was the only guy who was right. He's close with the owner. And he was on Cap Show the other day. And he said, Tony wants to return. And the Sox would want him to return.
Not just this year, but maybe next year as well.
Yeah, and Heyman said, John Heyman today in the New York Post wrote that what he's hearing is Tony's going to go to Oakland for the Sunday game when they're honoring Dave Stewart, his former player, and then he's going to fly back with the White Sox and probably start managing again when the Sox return to town. So Like, isn't this like a player getting hot? Don't you stay with a hot hand?
Yes, that applies, and that is logic enough. More importantly, the White Sox are the most disappointing team in baseball.
Amen.
And have been all season. And if you... This is where a general manager, a strong general manager comes in. And I understand owners have their relationships with coaches, so manager in this case. Jerry is not at any time in his ownership life an unreasonable tyrant of an owner. This is not who he is. But somebody has to be able to sit with him and say, look, we've done the right thing here. We've got talent on the field. Everybody in baseball agrees this is one of the most talented teams in baseball. You want to throw this away? You want to flush this? Really? You gonna own this? Because as a general manager, and this analytics can't do this for you. You got to have some stones. You got to say, we can't have Tony La Russa anymore. You can fire Tony just on the basis of the underachieving season they've had.
Mike, I've said for months now, or at least weeks, that there's no other Major League Baseball franchise that had the expectations that the White Sox had and had the consistent fundamental breakdowns on such an day-in and day-out basis that would have kept their manager.
Well said. They would have fired him at the break, if not earlier.
Yes.
You would have just said, we made a mistake here.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I mean, Tony's in the Hall of Fame already. I'm not some anti-Tony La Russa. I'm not. Just no. I found it charming, though risky, when they hired him. But no, windows of opportunity. You don't miss out if you can get in the tournament, the playoffs. I don't care about the other things that might be going on in your mind. This team has to get in the playoffs. And if they don't, something serious is wrong.
You're like, they've been given the convenient out where no one has to take the L. Okay? He had a legitimate health issue. Why not just say, listen, at this point in time, we think it's best that Tony doesn't put himself through this. He'll be upstairs sitting with Rick and Kenny, and he'll have a role in the organization.
Yes, you're not firing him.
But no,
you move him around.
No one has to lose here.
No.
No one has to lose.
We're not letting someone with his credentials and brain power, we're not letting this human resource leave this organization. Well, we're going to continue along. You can dress this up. You could if you wanted to. But here's the thing.
What if the end of the day, the manager, the Hall of Fame manager, says, I want to come back. I started this. I want to finish.
He's the first person you got to take on that plane, privately maybe, and say, here's what we're going to do for the good of the team. And this is not...
Listen, like I said to Sylvie, all of what you're saying is common sense. I'm not convinced that there is a scintilla in Jerry Reinsdorf that would feel that way. He has been inclined to this point to
But didn't Tony
ride
say
with
to him,
Tony.
You have to fire me if you bring me back? Or am I confusing this with Doug Collins?
Right,
and Jerry
which he opted the other way.
But it was Doug. See, that was just Doug. That was a smart thing to understand. Yes, we are friends. Yes, you think I can do this. Yes, I believe I can do this. But if I can't, that's the reality of sport. But it just, I don't want to see the White Sox go out with just having the tag of the most underachieving team in years that can't even get to the playoffs and overtake in a bad division Cleveland and Minnesota.
Is the right word hubris? Is that the issue here?
Like pride?
What would
go with before the fall?
To do what it would, Jerry would just have to say, listen, this was not the right decision. Does an owner have a different level of... Are there mirrors in owners' houses?
That's a good point.
Where you walk in and you just like, you don't ever see what's looking, what the reflection.
Does Jerry get mad with some of the moves?
Yeah.
What does Jerry think on a 1-2 intentional walk?
But he's
twice.
Yeah, but he's not... But wait a minute, though. You got to look at Jerry's life as an owner. He's not a meddlesome guy. He's not. And his franchises have benefited from that. So...
But this one isn't.
And I this is the exception.
Yeah.
Remember...
This is why
you.
I'm thinking like hubris
entirely
may be
you.
The biggest issue
well,
at this point.
But who's guilty of having the hubris? Tony. You're in the Hall
so
of Fame.
So you're saying Tony,
I'm saying Tony should take himself out of it and say, I'm going to go up here and stay here. And
But you're putting the burden on
a
the
Hall
managers
of Famer.
Opposed to the
a Hall
owner.
Of Famer.
But the burden should be on the owner,
should
shouldn't
it? He should be able to discern. Come on, it's Tony La Russa. I'm requiring. I'm asking more of him because he's Tony La Russa. I'm asking more of people like Tony La Russa and Pat Riley, geniuses and Hall of Fame people, at where they are, where they live.
But Mike, they got to the level they got to because they have an undying competitive spirit in them.
I just asked a question about who's talking about.
Isn't this like when Michael Kopech's on the mound and he's throwing 89 miles an hour?
You take him out.
Michael Kopech will never take himself out.
Correct.
He is trained to pitch through that stuff as an athlete. He has to be saved from himself.
That's true.
Someone needs to save Tony from himself.
Well, if Jerry can't, somebody's got to make this move.
I always use this analogy, and people get mad at me, but I don't mean it in a bad way. It's like my dog. If I just left the food bag out for my dog would eat until its
one
belly
sitting.
Exploded. Like, sometimes you got to take the food away.
It's the same way.
Sometimes I got to say, hey, bro, it's time to go.
Sylvie's the same way. I want to see what happens. Is tonight game one of that series?
In Oakland.
And they got a guy on the mound who has been as good as anybody.
Yeah, what if they win 4-for-4? What if they go and finally sweep a team they're supposed to sweep? What if they even win 3-of-4 and they go 9?
You can't even expect them now. I'm tired of having my expectations.
I know, but I'm saying that
wasted by this team.
You win more, you come back home, you're within a game. You're finally playing with energy. Like Frank Thomas, you respect the Hall of Famers. Frank Thomas on Saturday night, he works for Jerry. He's an ambassador, and he works for his network.
Yeah.
Frank Thomas is on that saying there's a different energy in that dugout. Jason Benetti works for the team.
Yeah.
Jason is saying yesterday, this is a game they don't probably win 2 weeks ago. Look at the top step and everyone involved in this game right now. This is something that wasn't going on all year.
Right.
They're telling you in so many words, they're better off without
him. You have to, someone who actually goes to your clubhouse and doesn't just look at damn analytics has to have a finger on the pulse of a locker room. That's something else I absolutely believe in, that you can have all this other stuff if you want. But somebody better know how your team feels. And that person, if that person's not making a decision, okay, but that person's got to be listened to, taken into account. And so if that is really the mood of this team, then somebody better pay attention.
I would say I would be shocked if they weren't unanimously respectful of Tony and his accomplishments
of
in the game. I think they all do.
But it's not even a question.
But that doesn't mean
it's not a referendum on Tony La Russa.
It doesn't mean
you're trying to win this season or what?
My point is that I don't think that like there's any ill will. You also have to read the room, as you were saying, and the room. The vibe is we respect your Hall of Fame career, but we got a little something going on over here.
Yeah, you know, Jerry waved goodbye to Michael. Jerry waved goodbye to Scotty. Jerry waved goodbye to Phil Jackson. Jerry waved goodbye to Frank Thomas before his career ended. Jerry waved goodbye to Ozzie Guillen as a player and as a manager. All these guys he loved, he said goodbye to, who were better off than what Tony's doing now. You can say goodbye to Tony. You can do it. You've said goodbye to the best.
Yeah, but the difference is he didn't bring any of those guys back specifically. Michael came back, but that wasn't at Jerry's behest. You know, this is the Tony thing is different. That's why I said risk. There was always risk here.
Of course.
How about this? The nuclear option is not only does Tony come back this year, but Tony's expressed his interest that he wants to manage next year as well. What if you?
It depends on how this year ends.
Okay. What if they don't make any progress?
Then you know what?
Does anything matter?
Then it's going to be heat. And that's when the owner looks at an actual mirror and says, oh, wait a minute. I look bad now. Owners don't want to look bad. Jerry don't want to look bad. As great as he's been, he don't want to look bad. If Tony comes back and they don't make the playoffs, and now we're talking about winning the division because they're like 6 out of the wild card. Forget about that.
Yeah, that's gone.
They're two back in a weak division. If they don't make the playoffs, he can't bring him back. He can't.
Yes, he can. He owns the team.
Okay.
Yes, he can.
When I say can't,
my point is this.
Of course he can. My point is owners don't want to look that bad. And at that point, Jerry looks completely out of touch.
You know this.
And I don't believe Jerry Reinsdorf's out of touch. I don't believe that.
You know this as well as anybody. FU money forces people to make strange decisions.
That's not the history. I live in a town where that's the history. Okay? That's not. I see the difference between styles and hubris and manner and self-awareness. I believe me, I see the difference. That's not, come on, that's not Jerry Rice.
I don't think it is either, but at the end of the day, it's his team.
Well, let's see what happens this week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And it is. And by the way, I mean, this is difficult. These personal relationships and associations.
Of course it is hard.
Look at Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones always makes the wrong move the last 20 years. He made the right move for 2 years. He got lucky with Barry Switzer replacing Jimmy Johnson once. And he hadn't gotten it right since.
Yeah.
And he's perceived as this great, great, great owner. He can't get it right.
That team won in spite of Switzer.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Of course it did. And Jimmy Johnson should never even speak to Jerry Jones again. Never.
It's crazy. All right. Coming up next, you did something over the last couple of weeks you were telling us off the air, if you don't mind sharing it on the air. Okay. Something really cool. Michael Wilbon is in studio. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
One more reminder about tomorrow. Again, we're out at Penny's Beverage Depot, Lincoln Park. It's on Marcy Street, right off of North Avenue. We'll be there 2 to 6. The Connie's Frozen Pizza Truck will be there handing out free slices. We'll also have a Bears pair of tickets for Bears 49ers for the opener that one lucky fan will win. You got to be present to win. It's a beautiful room, cash bar, televisions, plenty of comfortable seating areas for you to enjoy. You're going to love it if you've not been to one of those shows, Penny's Beverage Depot. It's tomorrow again from 2 to 6. It's all brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. You've had a lot of great things going on lately, Wilbon. You mentioned last week about your trip to Ireland and
go Cats.
Your Northwestern win. And what about your trip out west for Steph Curry's charity outing? You shared some stuff off the air with us.
Eat, Learn, and Play is Steph's and his wife's, Aisha's, foundation. It's just extraordinary. And, he asked me, along with Amanda Baleonis, now Amanda Renner, from golf and pro football stuff, people can see on CBS. Of course, Amanda's great at what she does. We are sort of the co-hosts for 3 years running. And what they do, what Steph Curry, look, Steph Curry, we may retire as one of the 10, 12, 15 greatest players of all time. So there's that and the winning and the championships and all, there's all that. And then there's who this guy is, who's an American hero. He is that. What they do with their foundation, feeding people. As I was mentioning to Tommy during the break, and you said, yeah, feeding people and teaching them to read. Does it get more basic?
Commodities, yes.
What they've done with literacy. I care about literacy. I mean, before talking for a living, I used to write for one. And literacy's at the top of my list. And nothing's at the top, nothing's higher except in eating. They supply people with food who don't have it. And they are now deep in the literacy and making sure that kids in underserved areas educationally read. And they just allow people in there. People like Peyton Manning and Larry Fitzgerald, and they just go, yeah, sign me up. I'm coming to that. Right? Matt Kuchar and Brant Snedeker and people from different walks of life. Condoleezza Rice was there 2 years ago. Yeah, people just say, yeah. Whatever that dude and his wife want. They're heroic.
And the literacy issue is even more in focus now because of how kids have been negatively affected because of the COVID issue the last 2 years.
The ability to put together individual mobile libraries that you can sponsor and put in this case, Oakland. But you know what happens? Steph Curry does something and then everybody else goes, wait a minute, do you see what this dude is doing? He goes to HBCU. Anyway, he didn't go to one. He went to, Davidson. But he says, you know what? Howard University. They deserve to have people play golf at their school. I mean, $5 million or so, by the way, goes to that. Now, people glom on. People say, wait a minute. I can do this. I can sponsor this.
Leadership.
J.R. Smith doesn't just sponsor. He goes back to school and gets a 4.0 and plays golf at North Carolina A&T. And it just shows you the influence. His influence is unreal, Steph Curry's. And anytime he says, can you, I just go, point me in the direction. I will do whatever you want me to do.
What cool. if he says, can you meet me in Arlington Heights for a Bears game yes. against the Cowboys?
I hear it's a great new Steph, modern stadium.
I love you, but.
That's where I draw the line.
You know where Steph Stadium is? In the city on the Water Chase Arena. It's not 72 miles out like Arlington Heights. Thank you very much.
But they're football team stadium.
You didn't think it was going to let you go without having some
I know,
minor
you, I know.
Conversation.
Well, I walk in and Sylvie's got he's got a soldier
I
feel.
For you.
That's a dagger.
Dedicated to yeah. you today.
I appreciate
There's
it.
There's still going to be a South Lot. It's just going to, the yeah, next shirt's yes. going to say Arlington Heights South
I'll
Lot.
Put a, just, yeah. yeah, just some tape over it. And right.
Have you guys talked about the new Northwestern football stadium coming? You know much about that?
No.
Okay. See, I just
if you show
them.
Up tomorrow
we gotta be Duke,
at Benny's, yeah. come
gotta,
to Benny's tomorrow and you could tell that story yes. to all of us.
Should we continue?
Come on.
I could do that.
Yeah, you can.
Michael, thank you for coming in.
Yes, hey, we appreciate it.
You know I love when you guys put up with me. We can holler and scream and have a yeah. good time. And thank you for putting up.
Benny's Beverage Depot, Lincoln Park tomorrow. Adam Abdallah coming up next. And
maybe
then
Mike
got-
Trubisky will join us tomorrow for the show. Our buddy Mike Trubisky,
you know. Trubisky. If the sky win, I might be, you know, still celebrating.
Okay.
That's what I expect to happen tonight.
The kids are depending
on it. Want them to win tonight.
Great work by everybody today. Thank you. Adam Abdallah coming up next. And we appreciate Michael Wilbon in studio for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.